Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast, where we are here to talk about a 1-1 draw. Of course we are. I nearly said thanks for bearing with us there, but the listener has absolutely no idea that we've been sitting here for the last
half an hour
at least, because we've been having tech issues and we nearly aborted mission and postponed the whole thing, but we didn't. Myself and Gareth are joined by two people who went to the match, although obviously me and Gareth watched it from America ourselves.
Canada.
Oh, sorry, you watch it from Canada, I watch it from America, okay.
Charlie's probably listening and fuming now, so.
Nah, give him the money. So we're joined by two people, and sorry for holding you up, Rory Fallow.
Good evening, nice to be here again, first of the season for me.
Is it really nice to be here after you've been sitting here for half an hour?
Oh, it's always a pleasure to come to Gareth's house, get to see the fleece. Always a treat.
It's not a good impression to make for Wise Men Say podcast debut. Eve Sears.
All right, first time. Second time as a witness.
So. Well, hopefully this doesn't put you off. But again, at least you've got to see the fleece in person now. Been sitting there, probably thinking, "What's going on here?" in a room with three relatively strange.
Relatively strange.
I meant to say strangers.
Okay.
But strange came out, which is probably possibly
three
accurate.
Relatively strange men.
That's fine. How it sounds, but I didn't mean it.
And we have just been going on about a fleece, so we are quite strange, I guess.
It's a famous wise man's.
Not that famous, really. Are you bothered about the fleece, Eve?
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
There you go.
Enthused by the fleece.
That's as good an endorsement as it's ever going to receive. Sunderland drew 1-1. Of course they did. How was your respective journeys down to Ipswich? You went by train, Rory.
Yeah, train down fine.
Still takes ages though, doesn't it?
Does. Had a bit of a stopover in Peterborough, but just went for a pint, as you do in these things, don't you?
What, the pub right opposite the train station?
Just went to like a very ropey Wetherspoons, actually, to be fair. Went to a nicer one when we were stopped on the way back, like a nice little sort of micro brewery one, which is quite good. But I didn't feel very well for most of the day, but I still think I would have put a better shift in than insert whichever player you want, actually. I was trying to think of which one would be the best one to make that joke about on the way here, and I think I'd settle on Denver Hume after his hauling off at half-time.
Well, we definitely will get onto that. And you went down by coach, Eve, or minibus or something?
Coach, yeah.
Coach from Peter Lee.
Peter Lee, yeah.
And how was that journey for you?
Yeah, left at 5, so in the pub by about 10.
And were you on the cans before that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. 1:05 and the first bottle was open.
There you go.
Obviously, not on the bus because you can't drink on the bus.
Yeah, drank them all before getting on the bus.
That's why you have to drink them and then you get on the bus. So if you're a police officer listening, it's fine.
I think they've got more important things to worry about than that.
You see the pictures on social media, don't you? Where they've like got a massive chuff on because of like just taking like sort of 12 cans of Ace off somebody on a branch bus. You're like, all right, well done, mate. Somebody's been stabbed down the road. You want to crack on and sort that out? It's not a politics podcast.
I know. Sound like you're a good old Dar rap. Stand up
for the rights of football fans.
Drunken football fans.
On the bus. Yeah. If it was a rugby game, they'd be...
Lather them in the stands, wouldn't they?
Like, come on, get yourself... We'll give you a police escort to the game.
And then
do you want some of these drugs that were confiscated from somebody? That's exactly what would happen. That's anecdotal evidence. I've seen it. No, I haven't. If you are a police officer, listen to this podcast now. Everything you say is a lie. Yes.
Yeah. Are we done with that?
Yeah, we're finished. Okay. Yeah, we're finished now.
I've only been to watch Sunderland once at Ipswich. I tweeted this before the game, and we lost 5-0.
My first away game.
Was it really?
Yeah. 4-0 down at half time.
Ipswich were bottom of the league, yeah. I left at half time, you'd be unsurprised to know.
Don't blame me.
I was like 20 or something then, and I kind of left if we were losing 2-0 back then. How far into this game did you think something similar was going to happen?
From very, very early on, we were talking about it, actually, me dad, who I went to the game with, about even how our seats were eerily similar from like the memory we have of that 4-0 game, and thinking, is this just going to mirror?
Didn't Titus Bramble score that game?
I think he did,
you know.
Alan Armstrong got a hat-trick, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it Finidi George?
I think
yes.
He
as well?
Got like a lob.
Like he's lobbed something.
Alan Armstrong, they were bottom, and Alan Armstrong, who was obviously a mag.
Yeah.
Was going through a dry spell. He's got hat-trick, of course.
This is at the same like Adi Atenbaye, same season.
I was at that game as well.
But yeah, it looked like it was going to be very similar in that first half with just, excuse me, no one aside from maybe Gooch in that first half really showing anything, and McGeoch maybe.
Even McGeady had a terrible game.
Yeah, agree.
McGeady was awful.
Has he just rushed McGeady back into the team there, do we think?
Probably.
You can understand that to an extent, can't you? But it needs to work.
He's desperate, isn't he?
I mean, especially when Embleton looked poor in the Oxford game, I can understand why he wanted to put someone back in, but I'm sure we'll come on to it later. Why not start Maguire, who was, for me, our best player? Totally changed
the
game.
He often looks like that, though, when he comes off the bench, doesn't he?
Doesn't do it every week as well.
Yeah, and then we ask from the start, and you don't quite get the same impact from him.
Better impact sub than
he
is starting.
Yeah, he likes it when the game's stretched. As they've said, he's an impact sub almost.
But if you think about, you know, people keep on discussing our form after Christmas, and we played Akron and Stanley and we drew 2-2, and Maguire came on, changed the game, didn't he? And then we played Gillingham and he got, was it Gillingham or Blackpool?
Gillingham. And he got injured.
Yeah, it was Gillingham and he got,
so everyone broke his foot.
Broke his leg, yeah, didn't he? Or whatever it was, yeah.
Trying to run it off.
Yeah. But then, you know, he'd been out of the team for a while at that stage, remember, because he'd been dropped completely from the squad against Oxford after scoring. I think he scored against Luton and then he got dropped completely and he couldn't get on the bench and people were talking about it. And then, you know, he's again come on to the pitch and influenced things, and we looked a different team against in that early stage against Gillingham with him on. Yeah. We looked completely different
because
he links the play
and
all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting, isn't it, that you look at someone like Maguire and we've lost Cantamall, who was scored, what, 6 goals last season? We lost George Honeyman, who scored a similar amount of goals last season. We lost, obviously, Josh Maguire, who scored 14, 15 goals last season. So we need to find those goals from somewhere. Have the players we brought in replaced the goals that we've lost in that team?
No.
You'd maybe hope McNulty could make up.
He's the one who would make a case for himself, wouldn't he?
Well, he's a striker.
And on his showings as well, he's been fairly
positive.
But
from other areas of the pitch. So, yeah, and so if you're going to say, you're looking at Chris Maguire and going, you're going to have to start relatively regularly, we're going to have to get you in the team because you've proven that you can deliver goals and assists.
Greg was Madge's replacement, wasn't he? But Greg doesn't want to be here. You can say what you want, he doesn't want to be here. You can tell that by the way he strolls about the pitch. The one that he made one on Saturday, definitely didn't break a sweat.
I think he struggled to get into us a little bit, which isn't necessarily an excuse. I thought you were talking about this, Gareth, I think, in the group chat on Saturday, where I thought he could have done better for that ball Gooch played into him, where it was in the 6-yard box. I thought he didn't get his first touch right, seen it from the opposite end to what you saw on the camera, but you said he was maybe unlucky with that.
Yeah, it was a bit overhit. He put quite a lot of purchase on the pass, to be fair.
And that's not a criticism.
Did you think that, though, Eve, from the away end as well? That looked like he should have done better with that one as well.
It was a bit, he'd reversed it, and it looked like he just ran too far past the ball, and the ball had a bit too much pace on it, so he couldn't recover it. I thought he actually did really well for the, where he turned, he didn't have much space to work, and he kind of turned him on the edge of the 6-yard box, and then the keeper closed it out. But he couldn't have done a lot more with it.
No.
But the thing is now we're in that, the Sunderland striker who hasn't scored as many goals as we'd hoped.
He's like so in debt now, isn't he?
Yeah,
he needs everything
he does now is going to be micro-analysed.
And you knew also, didn't you, that if Jack Ross was going to make a change and take one of the strikers out and put McGeady in, it would be Greg sat out as well. And he's in that position now as well. Mm. Where if it's him and McNulty, he's not going to be the one who gets a nod as well. So all this is compounding his situation for us. But I mean, just backtrack again to just to the start of the game. And we're going to talk about formations again to an extent. And I know George Dobson is the most recent one to come out and say, it's too easy to say that, and the player application wasn't right, and they weren't winning the second balls, and they weren't doing the backtracking, which is all the basic things we want to see.
Taking that role over from Cam Hall, John O'Shea, Seb Larson.
Where did Ipswich's goal come from?
I thought McLaughlin, the keeper, could have done better, but
I wondered that as well. But
through his legs.
But
isn't it, like, it's a cliche.
It's come from that side of the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, Lambert's going to say, right, in between Flanagan and Hume, that's where you're putting the ball over the top.
Well, it wasn't a ball over the top, it was just a throw-in.
But that was their general tactic.
But the balls over the top were working as well.
Don't have the players to play the formation Ross wants to.
Definitely
not. It's not going to work.
And he's abandoned it now, twice. And you mentioned last week, Gav, saying he's either going to have to, you know, show he's got some balls and stick with it, or panic and abandon it, but he can tell us it's not about formations all he wants, or whoever else is saying that.
Well,
but the evidence is, after two games with one goal down in both games, he changes the formation and we look better.
I just don't think you can throw Hume in first season as like a full-on professional, first-team football, and expect him to be a wing-back in his first season as a regular starter.
He did all right at left-back last season, didn't he? But it, like you say, it's not left-back.
McLaughlin's just... Millwall fan said he was too slow, and you can't have a slow wing back.
He's got really very can't. Mark Wilson-y vibes.
Yeah,
from Conor McLaughlin.
That's not a good vibe to have.
That's what he reminded us of.
That cross where Greg actually did quite well to get it.
And then Willis, the centre back, has he won a header for us yet?
Yeah. What's he offering? Like what we were supposed to be getting this commanding, imposing.
Is he an improvement on Baldwin or Flanagan?
It's too early to tell, I guess, isn't it? But I mean, he showed his pace in the second half, didn't he? Where we, you know, a couple of times where, and to be fair, they didn't really trouble us in the second half.
Yeah, that's true. The second half was a massive improvement, but it's still not good enough.
It seems like it's the first time Ross has lost his temper with them, perhaps.
Going off what Dobson says.
And going off what Phil Smith, I think Phil Smith suggested.
The vibes off Dobson are pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I think. He's been our best player so far, first two games.
I think he's, like the way he talks, and for a 21-year-old
lad. Yeah, very
lad,
intelligent for his age.
Yeah, you know, he seems quite mature, played a lot of football at level 100 games. And he said, you know, I saw him having a go at people, which is a good character to have.
I agree, and I think Dobson looks fine, but do you not think there's still a bit of an issue there? Is he going to be as dynamic as we need him to be if we're playing Dylan McGee alongside him for that creativity? Well, we're going on about where we're going to make up goals that we've lost in the team. Surely we need that. If we're playing someone who's so defensive, like Dylan McGee.
Well, I wouldn't say that. My argument wouldn't be.
I'm just saying we've gone on about variety quite a bit. Is Dobson going to offer us something massively different?
Maybe not in the...
He gets about the pitch.
Yeah.
Better.
He's a bit more box-to-box in his approach.
He makes up a lot of ground, a bit like Gareth mentioned.
I'm not saying he won't. Like, I don't mean that in a writing him off way.
Gareth mentioned the other week, a bit like Henderson, obviously not as good.
Yeah, the League One version of.
Yeah, but Henderson would get the ball and he'd move really, really quickly.
That's what he wants. That's the kind of player he is.
And to be fair, the reason we might not be seeing the potential from him is because what could be going on ahead of him as well hasn't been great. You know, we mentioned how Griggs not moving particularly well at the moment. That could be a big part of it.
It just seems to me like they want McGeag to sort of, or if Leadbitter was to come in to dictate the play from the base of the midfield, and then Dobson's almost the legs to make it all happen and to try and link it all together. But you need McGeady to play well. Maguire's another one again who could probably come in.
Why don't you put
job.
Maguire off? If you go back to what you know, go back to the 5 or the 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it. And just have Dobson McGee or Dobson and whoever. You got to sit there box to box, and then in front, put Maguire in front in the centre, then put McGeady on the wing because he's a winger.
Always play Maguire in front.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Just have him off the front, and then if Griggs out of form, then he's out of form, so he doesn't play.
And Gooch at the minute is.
And Gooch plays on the other side.
Yeah, because Gooch has been. I'm a massive critic of Lyndon Gooch.
Oh, yeah, I'm his least biggest fan, but he has been.
Yeah. He was well, relatively speaking,
standout player on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like he's been told to just stop overthinking things. Yeah.
Maybe his baby's not waking him up in the middle of the night anymore, because that was the excuse. That was the excuse we got given, wasn't it? So his band's taking the bottle all right now, not waking up in the middle of the night, and he's refreshed for the new season. But I tell you what, we could just wrap it up there, because I think we've all just possibly agreed on the starting 11 there.
Well, it's not for tomorrow, but...
No, but generally going forward, I think we're all looking at... We were all saying the back four clearly works. I don't think we discussed the back four, but then you're looking at McGeoch, Stroke, Ledbetter, Sitton, Dobson the link, maybe Maguire to be the link to the forwards, McGeady, Gooch, Wing, McNulty up front.
And you,
thanks for listening.
I like how you actually dropped your mic there as well. That was really good. And you're hoping as well that the goals are going to be shared out more than likely there as well. There's no sort of, like, we were hoping Greg was going to be the sort of like out and out 20 goal man. You're probably looking at someone getting a couple, maybe.
I think White will have a good season. I said last season, if we don't go up, I think White will have a really good season this season. But
White's an interesting one, because I was talking to a friend actually the other day, and actually, well, it was after the Oxford game. And he was saying, he was at the game, and he was saying, that knows his football as well, decent player and stuff. And he was saying, I think that formation would be ideal for Wyke.
The amount of crosses
they were putting in the box.
What were the two? Was it 3-5? Well, it might be ideal for Wyke, but, you know, we haven't got any wing backs, so it's not ideal for them.
Yeah, do we stick with him at the left back, or do we bring a new one in?
Well, they'll have to bring someone in.
He's surely got to be looking to bring somebody
in. He's been twice, hasn't he? Because he didn't finish the game against Oxford, did he? Maybe he did.
I think he did, yeah.
I feel like he didn't. Well, the thing is that people talk about these systems, right? And managers are really... There's this whole discussion and debate about in football about systems and how you play. And then from the professional side, the counter is always, systems are irrelevant because they change all through the game, blah, blah. Well, I'll tell you what then. If the systems are relevant, Jack Ross has said this, why have you changed... Why is Conor McLaughlin and Luke O'Neill played in three different positions in that game if the system's irrelevant? The system's not irrelevant, and we look much better with the going back to the 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3.
You have to be very, very good at football to play a 3-5-2, like Conte did with Chelsea. Like, you've got to be an unbelievable set of footballers to be able to play that. Yeah.
Well, certainly the wing-backs, that's the idea of it. That's the idea of that system, that your wing backs are your wing.
To be fair, against Oxford, Hume was good. He was good at getting forward, but terrible getting back and terrible putting the crosses in. Yeah. He can't do all three. He can't get forward, get back, and put the right crosses in.
You've got to be so well-rounded,
haven't you? And that's what we said after the Oxford game, because that kind of highlighted the problem we have. But you can't say the formation isn't important and it's irrelevant when someone like Hume is receiving the ball as much as he's receiving it, and that's he's receiving the ball that often because he's playing wing back in that system, and that's your out ball, that's your width. So, I mean, I'm almost going, you know, like a broken record, and we're talking about this again and again, but I guess the point is, Jack Ross now, I mean, praise him for changing it twice.
That's what I was
I think it's fair to do that.
It's interesting, isn't it, how the narrative changes on managers, because I've seen loads of people criticise Ross being like, oh, he's had to rip it up and change it again. But this time last year, we were massively praising Ross for the fact that he was good at reacting in games with his subs, with changing it when it was needed, you know, especially after managers like Moyes and Coleman who were quite stubborn with their formations. So we were delighted to have someone like Ross who was really reactive, wasn't stubborn like that. But because now there's people who are harbouring sort of wanting to get rid of Ross, or because the form has been poor over the last, you know, since the end of last season, beginning of this season. So now it's changed to...
But Is it a comparable? I don't think that's a comparable thing, because what I would say, it's rather a regression rather than a reaction from his perspective, because the changes he's made has been to progress what we're trying to do, isn't it? Because he's made a stark change to the setup and system and the way he wants to play at the start of the game when you're playing with three centre backs and he's playing wing backs. So that's a stark contrast to how we played last season, where, ironically, we had the players to play 3-5-2 and didn't. There's obviously a reason why he chose not to do that. Now he's taking this opportunity to make that big change, and then he's having to go back to something that is familiar to the players and familiar to everybody, because what he's tried to instill over the last 2 months has not worked.
So I
take your point in that it's good that he reacted and changed, but at the same time, if you know, if you're having to change it after 25 minutes and start,
he should have had the summer to settle. Yeah. And I appreciate like the football manager concerns and stuff.
Then
like
going
that.
To go down football man, like the formation you want to play, and then going, oh, well, I've got to have to change it now. Clicking off to like change your formation, scrambling around to try and make something work. It's not going to play football.
But I just think it's interesting how 10 years how it does turn for something that was he was always praised for. Now is something that a lot of people are using as a dig against him. I think you should be quite. Not that you have to necessarily be happy with Jack Ross, but you've got to praise him for not being stubborn many Sunderland managers have.
I agree. And after the Oxford game, again, Gareth made the point saying, right, he's kind of set a rod for his own back here where he's thrown his trust behind the system. If it's not working and he changes, it looks like he's quite weak. But he's abandoned it twice early on. If he's prepared to make these changes now, he surely knows he's under a little bit of pressure. It's as difficult a game as Ipswich away is, by the way. And Portsmouth coming up is another one.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What does he do? Does he think right now, okay, we're going to go again, and then I'm going to change it again? Or is this a time where he says, no, I can't be stubborn on this?
He's got to swallow his pride and just bin it. He can't stick with it. Not after the game against Oxford and the showing against Ipswich in the first half. No way can he.
The evidence is just there to suggest that we're not equipped for it. The fullbacks aren't good enough. It's as simple as that, and the system relies on fullbacks massively.
McGeady can't play off the front either. Like, the idea that McGeady can play in a 10... is like fanciful, really, because he's a winger. Because you think about all these, like, because he's a trickster and all that. But if he plays off the front, he's probably picking the ball up 40 yards from his own goal.
Yeah.
And like, he can't be picking the ball up. Like, if McGeady picks a ball up with the centre back, then what's the point? You know, he needs to be further up the pitch.
Totally agree.
And in a wide position, he's going to offer that because he can stretch it, he can go wide, and then someone, we'd like to play the switch, which was really frustrating on Saturday, because you were like, well, why are you playing the switch? Because the wind was ridiculous. And why continuing trying to play these crossfield balls? Stop. Just stop doing it. Stop giving the ball away. It's like, and that's where I've got sympathy with you know, Ross on the other side, is where you're like, well, you can set them up and tell them to do something, but you've got to think, well, you can't play that one ball across the pitch because every time it's going out of play, it's drifting out of play. There was a period in the first half where the goalkeepers just passed the ball to each other for about 5 minutes because every time they cleared, the wind caught and took it through the keeper, and then it was just back and forth for about 5 minutes. I mean, our first half, as bad as we were, was a terrible, terrible game of football.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was generally very bad.
Horrific.
Definitely.
Quality was terrible. And this is a team that's come down to the Championship now. I'm not going to blame the weather.
Team that's got goal music, by the way.
But I just feel like, you know, maybe, you know, the wind does play. The wind ruins. I hate the wind of the match. Like, it just ruins a game, which is like the worst.
Good job. It's a winter sport, isn't it?
Yeah, but especially in the northeast of England,
quite close to the sea.
Yeah. But it does. It ruins a game.
The wind in that 2-1 where Richardson scored the free kick added to the atmosphere a little bit.
But. Yeah,
that was good wind.
I'm not blaming the wind, but I'm just saying it should have altered. We should have taken the conditions into account and played. If we want to work the ball, you've got two centre midfielders.
Yeah, and you should need the manager to do that. That's your professional football.
Common sense, especially at League One.
Exactly. Use your brain.
Is that maybe a lack of leadership on the pitch sort of thing?
Well, I mean, we've had this conversation for the last however many years, really.
Who was captain when McGeady went off?
Did he give it to Flanagan, maybe?
Might be.
I think I saw that somewhere that he potentially gave it to Flanagan.
We've lost a massive leader in Cattermole, and obviously Ledbetter. Have we just given it because he's a local lad? Like, is it romanticised?
I can understand why he would give a little bit of.
Yes, he was captain.
The experience in the squad, yeah. But if he's not going to play,
oh no, does he have the legs? Yeah.
Well,
he's
not playing, so that would suggest not at the moment. But it gets back to the old question: how important is a captain now? Do you know what I mean? But you certainly need some leaders on there, I guess. But I mean, what was it? The main reason we come back into the game? What was it? Was it a kick up the arse? Was it the change in tactics? What would you?
I think it's a change in system.
Yeah, change in system.
Got us back into the game. Familiarity.
And we were just a bit more tenacious. Look at the way the goal came through.
Ipswich weren't great quality either. No. So
yeah, they definitely gave us a route back in. We shouldn't deny that. If this was the opposite way around, we'd be saying we should have got them killed off half time. Very similar to actually a lot of our 1-1s last season, really.
If you conceded a goal like that, you'd be fuming. I mean, we'll praise McNulty for chasing the ball down and stuff like that.
It's hilarious.
If you're a fan of Ipswich, you're fuming with that goal you've conceded. Yeah, and I'll be honest, at the time, I thought, we'll go on and win this now, because we've been there so many times before. Ipswich couldn't win at home last season. And it's that feeling of dread that comes in, isn't it? So they've been on top for the game, and then they gift us a goal. And I thought, oh, you know, this could work in our favour here. But
yeah, we didn't really do much after, which was a bit disappointing.
I thought we pressed on and tried.
Oh, yeah, and I don't mean for lack of effort.
But there was still a lack of cutting edge.
It's not like the keeper had a lot of work to do, really, after the goal.
Just generally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was a few balls into the box, and Greg sort of trying to get on the end of a few things, but there wasn't really a lot, but it was just like the bar was so low in that first half. You know, it felt like, you know, you were watching Brazil in the second half in comparison, because it was so poor, you know. But, you know, it was funny, we mentioned on the last one about how 1-1 draw in isolation at Ipswich looks all right. But because of we've had so many 1-1s and this narrative around 1-1 draws and the fact we didn't beat Oxford, it just heaps that pressure on everybody, the players and the manager.
But a win against, I know Thursday I'll preview it more, but a win against Portsmouth, it does change it so much. It lifts like it's, and then you're going into Rochdale away and then Wimbledon at home.
Rochdale's had a good start of the season.
Yeah, true.
Oxford beat Peterborough quite comfortably
But you know, Wimbledon at home, Rochdale away, two fixtures we did win last season as well. Rochdale, like I say,
we were lucky against Rochdale last season, to be fair, I think.
Yeah, no George Honeyman there for that moment
last,
again.
Last
this
minute winner.
In the first game, we battered them, didn't
we? Yeah, we hammered them, 4-0.
I think it was 4-1. I think it was 4-1 in the end, yeah. And they scored like after we'd got the fourth. But yeah, it was. I think we were 3-0 up at half time in that one as well. I think we got one and then just like scored up three in.
But you know, if you're looking for promotion there, I don't know what you could say about Oxford, but you look at their result, like you were just saying, Stephen, against Peterborough. They're two games that you need to be. We need to be rounding off the end of the month by getting up in these next 12 points that are available. You've probably got
ten.
Aim for 10, having three wins and a draw.
We just need a bit tomorrow night off for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's been all cups off.
Well, it's interesting. Wondering what Pitt would do with that, with the game. He's mentioned a few players are injured. He's got unfortunately, we're not a mid-table Premier League club anymore where we can say, let's prioritise the cups and try and get a trip to Wembley. That's not going to happen in a million years.
Yeah, we didn't really with most of the Checkers Trade games last season until we got the semi-final.
Ozturk
was out the squad and he was starting every game at centre-half.
I agree, but in the League Cup, you know, you're not going to get a Wembley, are you? Yeah. So.
But then Kimpy Yorker and Mumba both started for the under-23s tonight, so. And then we've got those five players out, so who is he looking to play?
Well, Power, you would imagine he might want to give a run out too. Would you be surprised if Will Grigg started? If he didn't start,
I wouldn't be. No, might be good for him. Team at our level needs a bit of confidence, and there might be some who do and just need a bit of fitness.
I think
as
Lee
well.
Burge will get a game keeper.
Yeah,
he'll start. I imagine.
Baldwin might come in.
You would have to give Baldwin.
Ozturk deserves a goal.
Ozturk and Baldwin are going to play.
Ozturk can count himself unlucky. I think not being this.
He came on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah, he did when Willis went off. Yeah, I mean, I would have started the season with Ozturk ahead of Flanagan.
Yeah.
Easily. Like,
he earned it. He was the best defender at the end of last season.
Yeah, definitely. And look at that left-hand side. And partly might have been... It's so weird with Flanagan because we kept a really good run of clean sheets with Flanagan and Baldwin. And I know some of that was because McLaughlin was in excellent form as well. But you don't keep that level of clean sheet without them having something about them. Flanagan now looks...
shot.
Absolutely. I'm not saying he looked brilliant last season. He looked like a very
he
much...
looked a lot better than he does
but
now.
Yeah, he looked a bit League One defender. But
he started off badly last season, then his confidence grew.
Yeah.
And grew better, and now he's just...
That might be part of it as well.
Dreadful.
But in Baldwin, who... out of the two, I would probably say I do prefer Flanagan. I always thought Baldwin did look a bit ropey. Has disappeared. Like, where is he? He wasn't on the bench on Saturday again, was he?
No. Well, you're not going to put him on the bench if you've got
us
three
on
centre backs
on
there already.
Steve Bruce. But like, both of them have disappeared. But you're looking at the way we're playing at the minute, and I think the system is kind of exposing Flanagan. I think having Denver Hume, who's so inexperienced and maybe, you know, not totally writing the lad off, but maybe he isn't good enough. We won't know that for another however long. But maybe it's just them two on that side that's exposing him. Maybe it's the system, and maybe it's just another reason to get these players back into the familiarity of what they know, because a lot of these players were getting results last season. And like, Flanagan's a really good example of it. And, you know, Willis is supposed to be this excellent defender we've signed from Coventry. These just haven't all been, space jammed overnight, have they? Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, you're right. But is it just as simple as a system? Is it what's in front of them? And Accrington might be a good opportunity to not just get some fitness, but some confidence as well.
Well, it will be interesting to see how he lines up. So it isn't a league game, but he might want that consistency and that repetition. So if he goes three at the back again, I think that's a safe bet to say he's going to do that at the weekend. So
I think numbers might, because of the injuries, might dictate him going four.
I think
the
if
back.
We go three at the back on Saturday, Poitou will have an absolute field day.
But looking at the way we've played, you can't argue with that. They've got good attacking players.
They've got good variety. They've got good variety.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got Pittman and...
Ben Close.
The other was a big Hawkins. So you've got... Pittman and Hawkins as options there. The lad who scored, who was signed from Ipswich.
Yeah, I know you mean. Scored two against...
Birmingham in the Cup. Obviously, they signed Harness from Burton.
Mm-hmm. Ben Close has scored two in the last two games. Can't do that three in a row, Ben. You can't.
But they lost Clark, didn't they? Who's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He's gone on loan at Derby, hasn't he? After he signed for Brighton.
Yeah.
And then obviously Law went to Wigan.
I don't know. The thing is, you're looking at that first half on Saturday, and if we'd played the back four, we could have won that game. Even as okay as Ipswich were, and as tough a game as it's supposed to be, we would have given ourselves a better chance of winning the game.
And they didn't look brilliant at all. They didn't look like if they're going to be
flattered them in the first half.
Agree. Like, if they're going to be promotion contenders as well with us, which they might not be, but as they are tipped to be as well, it does make you feel a bit at ease, doesn't it?
And we just need a win to settle it down.
Yeah,
and I guess the problem Ross has got is, I can't settle it down because my formation's not working. I keep having to abandon it, and then the games aren't getting easier. He must be thinking now, the last game in the world he wants this weekend is to play against Portsmouth, because he wants a game either that's just another game to try that system and settle it down, or another one where he says, okay, I'll go back to basics, we'll get a win, then I might look at playing that again. But Portsmouth have got to give you no breathing room whatsoever.
Might
he knows.
Get Rajwan again, though. That might be what we need.
But he knows if we go goal down after 10 minutes, the crowd is going to start getting a bit edgy as well. Could do without the game being on Sky, unless we win.
But they just need to get. They need a fullback in this week. As soon as possible, they have to do that. Whatever the.
How many fullbacks? Left and right?
In an ideal world, yes, but...
Yeah, McLaughlin's slow, and I think there's going to be problems.
He's looked better at full-back and a back four, I would say, McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah.
He probably will be, because he's more defensive.
I don't think you can play at 0-9 there for
It's a bit of a damning indictment that Luke 0-9 still looks our best right-back, and he's supposed to be an attacking midfielder.
But obviously, we've lost Matthews, and we've lost Donald Love. Do you want two massive losses, but... The word too, right back.
Matthews could play a wing back.
Matthews in this system. And, you know, there's probably other reasons why Matthews had to go, and he was injury prone as well, so he'd probably...
He's not found a club yet, has he?
Yeah, that probably says quite a bit, doesn't it? But still, like you said, it's players terms of bodies we need to replace as much as anything else, and we still haven't, well, apart from McLaughlin coming in, but we still look short there.
Yeah, our defence is probably definitely is our lightest thing on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like our weakest department.
I mean, like, you could make, even, like, let's just say you're told now it's going to be a back four against Oxford, not many people would agree on the back four, whereas actually the front four, what we discussed before, would probably be quite popular in terms of McNulty, Maguire, Gooch and McGeady. There'd probably be quite a consensus on that. Yeah. But your back four, like, could just be anything, couldn't it?
Mm. I just think we have to utilise, you know, Maguire now. If they go, especially if they go back to the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-3-3, they have to utilise him, because, you know, Honeyman contributed. He wasn't a 10, but he did contribute goals. Yeah. A few goals, and they need to find somebody to fill that void. And he has goals in him, and they need to play him as often as they can. Even if he continues with the three at the back, then he needs to be one of the two off the front if they're going to play two. I get this idea that, like, Embleton's the one that people want there. Like, hang the hat on.
I think Embleton needs to come out until we're winning games. Oh, until he can be, like, embedded in the team.
Yeah, get him on a sub.
It's too much, almost. Like, Ross was like, put this faith in the system and Embleton will be my number 10.
Having him on set pieces against Oxford was a massive mistake. But then again, there was not really enough on the pitch to take them. But
his delivery was pretty impressive with both feet, mind. Because he was like, he's swinging them in left foot, right foot from either side. But quality from set pieces has been an issue aside from Ledbetter, hasn't it? Really, we didn't start scoring. Yeah. We didn't start scoring set pieces until Ledbetter came.
We couldn't score from open play, could we?
You can't find a place for him. So
yeah,
it's
he's one actually. He'll probably be starting tomorrow night, you would think.
Yeah, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you?
Is it important? And I mean, we'll wrap things up just now, but in terms of tomorrow night, I guess nobody really cares if we go out of this competition.
I think we're not realistically
going to win it, but is it important so we can see some of these players make it clear? The likes of Power, Baldwin, even. Just a win from a psychological perspective.
I know what you're saying, Eve, about, you know, you want to bin them off. Like, I agree with you, but, like,
that would help.
If we get beat off Accrington Stanley, people would be going, we got beaten off Accrington Stanley.
Can't win, really, can you?
Yeah. Well, we literally
can. We win?
And then we could draw 1-1.
Draw 1-1 and win on penalties. After extra time.
Just what we need.
But we need to start winning games and get that, you know, confidence. And obviously, if there's changes tomorrow and that team wins a game, then it puts a little bit of pressure on the more regular players you might expect to be coming into the team. I just think from a mentality perspective, I'd agree that it's not a priority, but you need to start winning. And it would be nice. We didn't get, you know, we've played a billion cup games last season. We never played like a Premier League team, so it'd be nice to get a Premier League team at home in a cup.
Really?
Yeah, no. Against our defence.
I know, but
I couldn't be bothered with it personally.
Might be funny.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it'd be novelty, wouldn't
Less
it?
Less than Mags, then it'd be horrible.
It would be novelty to play a Premier League game where the pressure's off. Like, you know, play a Premier League team. You know, I don't know. It would be interesting. I think it would be interesting to see, you know,
just how far we've fallen.
Just to see how many we're going to lose by.
Yeah.
You know, you get some odd results in those games. But it just.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It would be nice to you know, have that again, see how, you know, for a cup game, how busy it got and stuff like that. And, you know,
see it all.
captures people's imagination a bit more, maybe. And a chance for some of the players to test themselves against, you know, players from a higher level.
Who were playing for the under-23s and reserve team at Premier League, and they'll spank us, right?
How many did Man City beat Burton by last season again?
Well, remember when we played Man City in the cup under Advocaat and we were 4-0 down after 35 minutes, I think.
And Tyvon and Paul,
while we were in the Premier League.
Maybe
park that idea, Gareth. I'm not so sure about it. Almost part of us wants to go out that great tomorrow. No, like you say, we need a win to take us in the weekend, and that's a huge game. Frankie will be back, I think.
I think so.
We thought he'd be back last week, and he wasn't. For reasons, I'll let him disclose if he wants to. Nothing sinister, by the way. but he should be back on Thursday to talk about Portsmouth. Look at a decent crowd there again. I think 29,000 tickets sold already or so.
Apart from us too.
Yeah, I know. Both at work. It is a shame. Work.
Cross them two off.
I know. I know.
It made it sound like we were going somewhere together there, actually. Yeah,
we're off on a trip.
Yeah.
But Frankie will be back Thursday, so thanks for everybody coming along, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for everybody coming along.
You should be saying that. You should be saying thanks for waiting, making us wait.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as you did.
Thanks for waiting. Thanks, everybody, for persisting. It wasn't my fault.
Thanks
was
for it. Persisting with the podcast for the last 6 years.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.